The following podcast is brought to you by the Pokemon Tower. May the souls of Pokemon rest easy. Everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour.
I'm your host, Jake.
And I'm your guide, Josh.
We're going to Lavender Town. It's spooky.
It's very spooky.
It's going to be very spooky.
And it's the most notes I have on a town so far. If you add together the pages of notes that I have for Vermilion City plus Lieutenant Surge, it's about the same as what I just have for Lavender Town.
Yikes. Upside, the anime, it's going to take like a minute. So
yeah, we'll talk about why.
We'll talk about why
at the end,
a little bit later.
Later on.
So I guess, without any further ado, before we take our trip to the spookum world that is Lavender Town, let's do some news. Josh, we got a couple things of news, but before we get there,
okay,
we have a very important thing that we got to do, and that is thank our Patreon backers.
Yes, this one is going to be even more awkward than the Morphingrid one because I've done it once already.
So it shouldn't be more awkward.
It'll be more awkward
because you got practice now.
Well, all right. I am a seasoned veteran.
All right. So we're just going to list out the names and we're going to thank you. And
each of you get an individual thanks.
Yeah, personalized. You're welcome.
From me because Jake reads the names.
First up is Matt Hoadley.
Thank you, Matt.
Next up is Robert Sky Ertle.
Thanks, Sky. Is this exactly what I did?
I think so.
They're going to think that you copy and pasted it.
We didn't, I promise. Josh just has real good mimicry skills. Next up is Raymond.
Thanks, Raymond.
Next is Joshua Wright.
Hey.
That's your name.
Thanks, Joshua.
Next up is Jonathan Andre.
Thank you, John. He goes by Jonathan, right?
I've only
hung out with him on Google.
On Google, yeah. I've only
thank you, Jonathan. I think I called you John on the Morphin Grid.
Tweet us, dude. I don't know. Next up is Harvey.
Thanks, Harvey.
You can call him Hoops. We're friends.
That's right.
We're friends now. It's Hoops.
Thanks, Hoops.
Next up is Sean Fitzgerald.
Thank you, Sean.
Joey Shimoski.
Thank you, Joey.
Alan Sells.
Thank you, Alan. What are you selling?
So stupid.
I'm sure he's never ever got that before in his life.
What are you buying? Danielle Penning.
Oh, thank you, Danielle.
And finally, Jonathan May, or Mai. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. You can send us a note letting us know. It's M-E-I.
I'm going to call you John. Thanks, John.
And that's all of our patrons so far. You guys have been overwhelmingly supportive. And we are very happy to have you.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the Patreon in general later on in the show. But first, we got some regular news to get to, don't we, Josh?
We do. It only pertains to you if you're listening to us in Japan.
Well.
Which, if you are, thank you.
Thank you.
How the heck did you find us on the United States iTunes? I don't know if that carries over everywhere or not.
I think it does.
I don't know how the podcast section of iTunes works.
I imagine just like, these are all the podcasts.
But I know like apps are region exclusive. Some of them.
I don't know. Anyway,
you guys know what a 2DS is, right?
Yeah,
it's been out over here for a while.
It's a slice of bread version of
the
DS.
It's a door stopper. It's a
it's a wedge.
It plays 3DS games without the 3D function.
Right.
Japan has never gotten it. It only came out in America. But maybe in Europe. I don't know what Europe
gets. Japan didn't need it.
I'm not hip to the Europe kids.
They didn't need it.
Right. Japan didn't need it. There was no confusion over there about anything.
They figured it out real quick.
But now they're getting it.
Yeah.
And they're getting, obviously, the coolest version of it.
I hate so much.
So we talked about, after the last Nintendo Direct, we talked about the original games coming out on the Virtual Console for the 3DS.
Yes.
That happens on February 27th, worldwide.
Right.
In Japan, they get a 2DS bundle. There's one available for red, green, blue, and yellow.
Yep.
Okay, the 2DS is the translucent plastic of the game's color.
God dang it. Why do they get this, Japan?
They look the coolest.
You didn't want these until you had the coolest ones. This is how you do me.
It's like you're having a Game Boy Color all over again.
I saw it, and I was like, is that clear plastic? And all of my nostalgia lights blew up in my brain.
But that's not all that's in the package. You get the DS, and it comes with that color game preloaded on it.
Yeah.
There's some other stuff in there that I don't remember. Oh, there's a code to get Mew in the new game, in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. There's a code in there for a Mew.
Okay.
There's also a special ticket that you can bring, I think, to, like, Pokemon Centers or some other kind of store in Japan.
Yeah.
And you can get your Mew downloaded into your original game the old-fashioned way.
God, this is the coolest bundle, and we're never gonna get it.
It's ridiculous. And they get a map, like a fully, like, artist rendering, drawing map of Kanto with it. We just get the games on Virtual Console.
Hey, Japan?
And maybe, like, a cool 3DS theme.
Hey, Japan? Great job. Great job, Japan.
Bring that damn bundle over here.
Over here.
I will give you $150 for it today.
One for each of the original Pokemon, minus Mew, because he's special.
I want the blue one specifically.
I want the yellow one.
Bring those two over at the very least.
Bring them over. If we get anyone, we're going to get red and green.
Which doesn't even make sense, because those didn't come out over here.
Red did.
It's different, though. The red and blue we got was the upgraded blue version split into two games.
That's weird to me.
Yep.
That whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about red and green. Maybe I'll read up on them and we'll do a special episode.
Okay. Sounds good. So that's the real cool news coming out of Japan right now.
And the fake news was that also on February 27th, the original Pokemon trading card set, like the first set,
yeah,
was going to be reprinted and sold in Japan. But that turned out to be a mistranslation. I guess it's some kind of reprinting of a different set, but it's not the original set.
Okay. Well, Pokemon cards are for nerds anyway, so I'm fine with not getting them.
Come on. I might start buying them because I gave away some codes on Christmas and it made me feel good. So I might start buying them just to give the codes away online.
Nice. I don't get Pokemon the card game. It just doesn't.
I've played the card game a few times. And I think it might be a bad case of play the card game with the wrong people. But
maybe.
I don't like it's fun. Like, all the concepts when I think of them are kind of fun and engaging. But, like, playing it was kind of just like, I could just play Pokemon.
It seems like the clunkiest possible version of playing Pokemon the video game, and I'm not super into that.
It's definitely clunky when you have a Pokemon with an item and, like, six energy cards and damage counters attached to it,
and
switch it out.
Attached, yeah.
So you got to slide everything down to the bench.
Just get a series of paper clips, put them all together.
Yep.
And that's it for news, really, right?
As far as I know, if you guys come across any news, just, like, send it to us, because I'm super bad at keeping up with
it. That would be cool. If you guys come across any news articles that you think
we'll credit
should,
you for sending us the news.
Yeah, then, yeah, go ahead and send those in. That would be great. Our last bit of news is that we're recording this on New Year's Eve, so there might be some fireworks in the background or... Oh, like that one.
Yay!
Happy New Year,
everybody.
Happy New Year. Yeah, we had a pretty cool 2015 here at Pokemon World Tour. Personal stuff got a little bad towards the end, but other than that, it was okay. So I think we're looking forward to a good 2016. We'll talk about that more again later. But now, we've put it off long enough, we have to go to the spoopiest place on Poke Earth, and that is Lavender Town.
I'm scared. Welcome to Lavender Town, the noble purple town.
Or sometimes simplified to just the noble town.
Get the purple out.
Get that purple right out of here. It makes us sound
post-attitude
ridiculous.
Post-attitude era Lavender Town.
So Josh, purple town, tell me about it.
Well, let's talk about its geography.
Okay.
Like, what's going on in the town? Because it's very small.
It's a town.
So it's a small town. It's built into the foot of the mountain that houses the rock tunnel. It's, like, surrounded by rock and mountain.
Yep.
I'm going by the Heart Gold and Soul Silver map.
Okay, that's what I have pulled up.
They're the best maps.
They are.
So
they
that's
really
the one
are.
That I use.
Yeah.
For, like, this is what the town actually looks like.
Right.
So it's mostly paved with stone, except for the area in the southeast corner, which is surrounding the House of Memories, which we'll talk about.
Good.
And that is a field of grass with flowers and a bunch of cool
right.
stuff down
the
there.
Fence.
It's split perfectly in half down the center by a road. And on the west side is the Mart, the Pokemon Center, and you have your Pokemon house in the middle. And there's just like a random residence and the name Raider down toward the bottom. And then on the east is the Pokemon Tower or the House of Memories. In the first generations, it's that's where the Pokemart is, and there's nothing next to the Pokemon Center, and it shifts up when the House of Memories comes in.
Okay.
So that's the town. They all have purple roofs. Am I remembering that right? Or is that a Fire Red and Leaf Green thing?
No, they have purple roofs. Right. That tent, is that the name Raider?
The tent is the name Raider.
Okay, that's also purple. So yeah, purple roofs. That's kind of the gimmick with towns, is whatever the color they're named after, that's the color of the roofs. Mostly.
The Purple Parrot Town.
Purple Parrots live here. They don't win a lot.
No, it's because they're just so sad. It lives in such a sad town.
Oh, God. And the music. Okay, what we normally do is we have the music going on underneath the whole town
theme. I'm going to send you the Gen 3 music because the Gen 4 remix is like not creepy. It's like upbeat and fun.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll send you the creepy one. Okay. I think that'll work better.
So probably switch that out at some point for the Gen 4 one, just so you don't feel uncomfortable the whole time you're listening to this. Because it's pretty spooky. I've heard a lot of Pokemon remixes. The best ones are all Lavender Town. There's one that they just played it backwards, and it just makes you feel like you should not be where you are.
Yeah, it's not good. Makes you feel like you could see the inside of your eyelids and just everything's wrong.
Yeah, it's bad.
Everything's just wrong.
So there are exits to all four sides too.
No, there's no exit to the east.
Okay, so that there's just like a blank lot, like kind of road to nowhere then?
Yeah, there's
okay.
Nowhere over there.
Okay, retract that part then. retracted. And that's about it for geography.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we got vis-a-vis population? If that's next. It's been so long.
Before we talk about numbers, let's talk about the people.
Okay.
Let's talk about Lavender Town's people.
People.
Having grown up in the shadow of the Pokemon Tower, the residents of Lavender Town are kind of like, they're religious, and that they often attend services at the Pokemon Tower. They say things like they're there praying, and so there's a lot of weird like religious imagery going on.
Right.
Oh, I guess that's it. That's all I had. I thought there was another part to that note, but that was the end of it.
Okay, that's kind of weird. You know, Pokemon is not a super religious game. There's not a lot.
Other than Lavender Town talking about praying, there is a church in Sinnoh, but like of what?
And there's like some shrines here and there.
Yeah.
And then like Arceus,
but they're usually shrines
god.
To Pokemon. Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, but like I can see how that would, like, Lavender Town would be, like, the religious place if that's where, like, all the dead
Pokemon
are.
Well, as far as we know, like, this is the graveyard in the world of Pokemon so far. There is at least one more, but we're way far away from that.
Yeah.
So in the first generation, there are 36 people here. Most of them are within the tower.
That's a lot for a town. But again, so they're all in the tower, so.
Wait!
Warning! There's some spoilers. Coming your way.
Wonderful.
Gen 2, the population drops down to 27 because the Pokemon Tower is converted to a radio tower.
Right.
Gen 3, there's 41 people.
That's a lot of people.
That is the third largest settlement in Kanto.
And it's a town.
And it's just a tiny little baby town. There's two houses. There's one house that's not anything in this town.
That's ridiculous.
In Gen 4, it drops down to 30, again, because of the radio tower. That'll end the spoilers for now. We're going to have to throw up another spoiler tag again later.
Okay.
Welcome back.
And one kid in this town that I want to note when you talk to him or her. I think it depends on what game you're playing. In Gen 1, it looks like she has ponytails, but I always saw that as a little boy in a cape because the sprites are so weird.
That's a weird leap to make.
And like, you know, I had a cape when I was a little boy. I played superheroes.
I did not have a cape.
I had a Batman cape, and I rode my bike with it on, and it got caught in the chain. I was fine. I did not, like, fall off and hurt myself or anything, but the cape got all chewed up, and then had battle damage, and it was even cooler.
Nice. I learned my lesson from The Incredibles. No capes.
No capes.
Capes are bad news.
So this kid outside the Pokemon Tower, when you talk to him, will ask you if you believe in ghosts.
Okay.
If you say yeah, he's like, yeah, no, right? I don't know what he says.
Good.
It's nothing, like, real weird. But if you say no, the child says, he like kind of laughs, like, oh yeah, you're probably right. That white hand on your shoulder, that's not real.
That's creepy.
In the Pokemon Origins anime, the white hand referred to by this child actually appears briefly over Red's shoulder when he's in Lavender Town. It's like real faded. You have to like really look for it. It's just floating over his shoulder.
Remember how cool Pokemon Origins could have been?
Could have been so cool.
Hey, maybe we'll do a whole series on what they should have done for Pokemon Origins.
That creepy little baby always freaked me out.
Yeah, say I forgot.
It's a kid. It's like a young kid saying it.
I forgot all about it until just now.
Yeah.
So thanks for that. I hate sleeping, so that's cool. Oh, boy. Is anybody else of note other than before we go into the Pokemon Tower? Because there's the Name Raider.
Yeah, we got the Name Raider. Lavender Town is the first home of the Name Raider.
Yeah.
You can bring any Pokemon here that you have caught, has your trainer name and ID.
Yeah.
And you can change their nickname. He will refuse to change the nickname of any Pokemon that were traded to you because their name shows the love that their original trainer had for it.
Yeah.
And he won't wipe those memories away.
Right. They are perfect. Just the way they are. So, but yeah, this the Name Raider is like, I would say, one of the more important NPCs that doesn't do anything like super important story wise because he's how you rename your Pokemon.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're like, yeah, whatever, I caught the Zubat, I'm just going to keep him. But, like, you want to change him to Zubatman later, like, or.
You want that Premier Ball so bad that you want to go with Zubatman.
Exactly. Or, like, I don't know. Well, we haven't. We'll eventually get to Zubat and we'll,
Yeah, I don't know when we'll do Zubat. There's so many caves. So many opportunities to do Zubat. Oh, there's a cave for Zubat. There's a Zubat roost in X and Y. That's a long time. You guys have to wait a long time for Zubat we figure out a different way to do spotlights. So that lone house kind of in the middle, that's the volunteer Pokemon house.
Okay.
That is the home of Mr. Fuji. You may remember him as
wrestling manager.
Yokozuna's manager, yep. Mr. Fuji.
I remember
threw powder in everybody's
face. I remember him as the... Some Samoans. Not the wild Samoans. That was Captain Lou Albano. The Head Shrinkers.
The Head Shrinkers.
I remember him as the Head Shrinkers.
I remember him as Yokozuna.
I jumped ship by then.
And maybe Hakushi for a minute? No, Hakushi had a different guy who painted his face all the way. Hakushi was real weird. No one else remembers Hakushi.
No one likes Hakushi but you, Josh.
Mr. Fuji has been kind enough to open the doors to his home to numerous volunteers to stay and help him care for abandoned and orphaned Pokemon.
Oh, it's a Pokemon orphanage.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. This is where Charmander would have ended up in the anime if Ash didn't just take it.
Oh, good job, Ash.
Yeah.
Inside I wish you could go in there and be like, I'll take him. Wrap him up.
Put him in these Pokeballs. They're mine now. There's a pen in the upper right corner, which is like a little playpen for the Pokemon to play in. There's a bunch of Pokemon magazines on the bookshelf. There's just a show on the TV about Pokemon having fun.
That's cool.
That's what it says. It's like, oh, the show is about Pokemon having fun.
I will watch that show.
Here's a weird red and blue thing that the game does.
Okay.
On the table is an open issue of Pokemon Fan Magazine with an application for the monthly grand prize clipped out.
Okay, someone has already sent in their application.
Yeah, they never say what the prize is. It's so very weird because it has nothing to do with anything. It's just Mr. Fuji wanted whatever this grand prize was.
Right, or one of his helpers.
But they could have just as easily not put that book on the table because it doesn't do anything.
No, but I guess it's one of those weird, like, hey, we're just enriching the world.
Yeah.
Because games used to do that. They would just put a thing in there because they had nothing else to put there.
Right.
So there's like, let's just make up a whatever. Here it is. This is fine.
He's a devout reader of Pokemon Fan Magazine.
Yeah. And he wants that grand prize. God dang it anyway.
Oh, man. Was the grand prize the thing? We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it when we get to Mr. Fuji.
Okay.
Which is the top of the Pokemon Tower. So in a little bit.
Okay.
The Pokemon currently taking residence in the house are a Psyduck, a Nidorino, and most recently a Cubone after the Team Rocket attack on the Pokemon Tower.
Okay.
So I think without further ado, it is time for us to enter the Pokemon Tower.
Josh, I'm scared. I'm so scared.
I was scared just coming into the town.
I don't want to go in there.
I'm not even going to the tower. You're just...
The kid told me there's a ghost hanging out, getting all gropey with my shoulder. I don't like it. I don't want to go in there, Josh.
We're going in. All right, so the Pokemon Tower is a 7-floor tower, which is the largest and most impressive structure we have yet to come across.
Yeah.
In a walk.
It's huge.
It's
like 25 feet tall, at least.
At least in Gen 1, it goes off the screen. It's too tall.
Yeah.
Also in Gen 1, it's a real cool thing that they did away with when they upgraded the graphics, but the base of the tower is actually in the rock.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So it's like a cave door that you walk in, and then the tower just sticks out.
Comes out of that. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, and then in the rest of them, it's just the tower. That's just part of the tower now.
Yeah.
This tower exists to house the graves for hundreds of deceased Pokemon on all of its 7 floors. From floor 3 onward, the player may be attacked by ghost Pokemon that cannot be identified until the player comes back.
Yeah, this is one of the...
Let's throw spoilers up now, because this is a spoiler for later.
Wait!
Just spoilers, like, forever now.
Wonderful!
You can't identify the ghost until you come back with the Sylph Scope, which you get
in
Celadon.
That's Sylph Scope, not Sylph Scope, as I pronounced it for...
Yes, the L is...
The entire time.
After the I.
Pretty much until I was an adult playing Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
I before L, except after C.
Co.
So the Pokemon you can encounter in the tower are Ghastly, Haunter, and Cubone, and I'm not sure if Cubone shows up without the Sylph Scope or not.
If it's just ghost or not?
Yeah, I never really went in to check. I don't know if he just comes up if it's just ghost right. until you get the Sylph Scope, or if Cubone can still pop up sometimes.
Right.
Because Cubone is not a ghost.
No. Cubone is a ground type. I know things.
All right, so at... The base of the stairs leading up to the top floor. There's like a bunch of trainers in here and all these floors. And there's some items that I think I wrote down later. I didn't really write down what the trainers are, but they're all channelers. And they're all super creepy old ladies who are sometimes possessed by ghosts.
Yeah, it's weird. This is a weird place.
It's so weird. But at the base of the stairs leading up to the top floor is the restless soul of the Marowak, which we found out talking around town, which we didn't say before, was killed by Team Rocket. The game actually tells you that they killed this Pokemon.
Killed the
they
Pokemon.
Used the word that Pokemon was killed by Team Rocket.
So all you nerds who are like, it was Pokemon, it was dark and gritty. In canon, in the game, a Pokemon does die, okay?
Yeah, it's murdered.
Are you happy? You proud of yourselves?
By gangsters. They gun it down.
By freaking Team Rocket. Hey, did you know, I don't know if it's... At least Plasma is called Plasma Gang, not
No, they're Team Plasma.
In Japan, they're called Plasma Gang.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if everyone is like that.
I don't know.
Because Rocket Gang is awesome.
Rocket Gang. No? Like Rocket Man, but Rocket Gang?
Are we talking Rocket Man like the movie Rocket Man?
No, Rocket Man like the song, and then William Shatner did it.
Oh, you're doing it. Okay, so I only know the Elton John version.
Oh, I was doing the William Shatner.
Which would be Rocket Gang! Rocket Gang! Because no one knows the words except for Jacob Berardi.
I'm a rock it man. So Team Rocket killed a Pokemon to death.
They killed it. How? Did it say? It
doesn't say how.
Does it say why?
She was trying to protect her baby because Team Rocket attacked the Pokemon Tower trying to get the skulls off of Cubone to sell them for that big bank.
I hate Team Rocket now.
Team Rocket, like, the other Pokemon teams are bad.
But they're like...
They do like real... But they're cartoonish.
They're like
bad.
James Bond villain bad.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to take all the water. Ha ha ha.
Team Rocket is just... They're so despicable.
They're
so gross.
They're awful. They're just
they're
awful
just awful,
people.
Awful people. Ugh.
Not at all funny like the cartoon.
No.
Funny in big ol' air quotes.
So before we go up those stairs, before we really get into this Marowak, let's go back down. I should have done this first, but we're already here. Back down to the second floor.
Okay.
There's a rival battle on the second floor.
Oh, boy.
Okay? You battle...
Your boy Blue.
Here's his team. Okay? He has Pidgeotto at level 25 and Kadabra at level 20.
Okay.
And then depending on what starter he ended up with, his team varies from there.
Okay.
So if he chose Charmander, he has Execute at level 23, Gyarados at level 22, and Charmeleon at level 25. If he chose Squirtle... He has a Growlithe at level 23, Execute at level 22, and Wartortle at level 25. And if he chose Bulbasaur, he has Gyarados at level 23, Growlithe at level 22, and Ivysaur at level 25.
Okay.
So he's starting to fill out his team and cover some type weaknesses and get a good, like, spread.
Right.
But, I don't know if you noticed, there's 5 Pokemon on this team.
He had 6 last time.
He didn't have 6 last time. But he had Pidgeotto, or Pidgey, and... Abra or Kadabra in the last 2 fights. He also had a Rattata or Raticate. He has an open spot on his team, so there's no reason for him to really dump it yet.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about?
Yes.
Okay. So the theory.
There's a couple. I found a couple theories.
A couple. Okay. So I'll do the one that I know. The one that I know is that it is implied that he pushed his Raticate too hard, and so during your last battle with him, Raticate died. And he's not here to get you, he's here to bury his Pokemon.
Right, because he's just chilling on the second floor of the Pokemon Tower. Yeah, the theory is, and there's a couple different variations of basically the same thing, that like either he pushed it too hard, or so you, in that battle it just...
Or you know, killed
that,
it.
That last drop broke, or you damaged it more than you wanted to, and he didn't get it back to a Pokemon Center in time because he was stuck on a boat.
For a year.
and it dies, which is just real sad.
Yeah.
Here's what he says before the battle. What are you doing here? Your Pokemon don't look dead. I can at least make them faint. Let's go, pal.
Oh, so like, buddy.
He's like, it's weird that you're here and your Pokemon aren't dead, but he's there. So if it's weird that you're there and your Pokemon are not dead, but he is there, one of his Pokemon must be dead.
And it has to be Raticate because it's the only one that he had been... And he'd been using that like the whole time.
He got it in Cerulean. It was added to his team in Cerulean.
Were there... How many...
That's the second or third battle with him.
Right. So, like, it's not... Like, it's,
he does not have Raticate in that optional battle off of Viridian.
Okay. But after that, he has it for the other two.
Right.
Right.
The other theory that I came across is that he was actually in Lavender Town at the Pokemon Tower to help fend off Team Rocket, and Team Rocket killed his Raticate.
Oh, buddy. That's so sad. All these are sad. Because
he might be a jerk to us, but he's not, like, a bad guy.
Right. We're just a rival.
Still, yeah, he's still on the side of, like, well, I mean, Team Rocket is a jerk.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop them.
Oh, I like that one better than it was us.
Yeah, because he's not, like, when he battles you, he's like, your Pokemon don't look dead. I can at least make them faint. But, like, he's not really mad at you.
Right, he's not like I'm going to kill your Pokemon.
He's like, I'm going to make all your Pokemon die.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And he's just kind of trying to keep up his pride and appearances.
Yeah.
By like, oh, I got to battle you, and I'm fine. Everything's great.
Everything's okay. Don't just shut up and battle me.
The third fury, because we're in Pokemon
Tower.
Spooky,
because I'm afraid.
I'm scared.
I have been quivering this whole time.
Is that he just put it in his PC, because it's pretty weak and probably wouldn't do well against ghosts anyway.
Well, yeah, if you're a nerd, that's a good way to go, super nerd Melvin. Congratulations on your lame theory.
I'm going to say I like the Team Rocket
theory. I like the Team Rocket one,
I'm going to accept that as my own personal canon for that.
Yeah, because if it was you and he was like, hey, it's weird that you're here and your Pokemon aren't dead, he would be real, I think, madder about it.
Yeah.
Or he would be like, oh, are you here to apologize? You know, like something like that, like too little, too late, that kind of thing. But instead he's like, it's weird that you're here and your Pokemon aren't dead. We should fight because that's what we do, and I have to keep up appearances.
And also, like, I just need to take my mind off of it.
Yeah.
So let's just have a battle.
Look, I lost.
And then you beat him.
Yeah, I lost a dog recently.
And then you knock all his Pokemon out. His friend just died. You knock out the rest.
Oh.
Are we the villain? Is this like a Link to the Past situation where we're actually the villain?
I think so.
Oh.
If you want to get that joke in a little more detail, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/AJKJosh.
I think it's the second video of our Link to the Past Let's Play.
It's
real early.
It's real.
It's called We're the Villain.
Yeah. So. You can figure it out. Anyway, I feel bad for Blue now.
Yeah.
I always used to think of him as a jerk because of Gary Oak.
Right. Gary Oak is a jerk.
But Ash Ketchum is a loser. So
is Gary Oak even a jerk?
I don't think so.
Or is it just because we're watching from the perspective of Ash that he seems like a jerk?
I think it's a little bit that.
But he's just a lot better than Ash is.
Yeah, because Ash can't do Pokemon.
He can't. He's so bad.
He's so bad at Pokemon, which stinks. It's the only thing he wants to do with his life. But look, sometimes you got to realize that you're not made to make movies and you just do podcasts instead. It's fine, Ash. It's fine. Everything's fine. So, anyway.
Let's go back up to that Marowak ghost.
Let's travel back upstairs.
We're back. We got the Sylphscope. We identify the ghost as Marowak.
Yeah. And if you break the game, you can catch the ghost. But you don't want to do that.
Right. It's supposed to be uncatchable. If you throw a Pokeball at it, it will dodge it.
Yeah.
So you got to knock it out, which calms its spirit, allows it to move on to the afterlife.
Right.
Which, I guess, if you're being haunted by a poltergeist or whatever, just punch it until it goes away.
You can't punch it because fighting moves do zero. You gotta hit it with fire.
Light a candle and just kind of like do ember attack.
Wave it through. You got any sparklers? You have a stun gun.
Oh, just spit water at it? That's one?
Yeah.
That's a water gun?
That's Easy.
Blow bubbles? Anything.
Yeah.
Anything but punch it. So it leaves. It allows you to go back up the stairs. And that's where Team Rocket is holding Mr. Fuji hostage because he went up to try and get them out of there. But he's just the old guy who cares for abandoned Pokemon.
Right.
I don't think he has any.
Because here's the thing. He cares for abandoned Pokemon. So, like, if someone comes and, like, adopts that Pokemon, he can't get too attached.
Right.
So he doesn't have any Pokemon of his own.
So he just went in there with no protection. He's like, I'll get him out.
I'll talk him down.
I'm going to yell at those guys for killing that Pokemon. So there's three grunts up there holding him hostage. He's in the back.
Yeah.
And after you beat the three grunts, and I think in Pokemon Yellow, it's just Jesse and James.
Yeah.
I think it's just a battle with them. Team Rocket packs up, leaves town. And Mr. Fuji thanks the player, brings him back down to the Pokemon house, rewards us with the Pokeflute, both for saving him and calming the spirit of Marowak.
Good job, us.
The Pokeflute. We can now wake up that pesky Snorlax that's
finally
on that route to the south that we kind of got to from Viridian City but couldn't get past the Snorlax.
Right.
Also, you can use the Pokeflute in battle, and it'll wake up your Pokemon if it falls asleep, so you can stop wasting all that money on awakenings, because now we got infinite awakenings.
Infinite awakenings. I wish I would have known that when I was a kid.
I did not find that out until I was but a man.
Till I was man grown. Earlier you said, oh, is that what he was talking about? We'll get to that when we get to Mr. Fuji. And we're at Mr. Fuji, so what did you mean? The grand prize?
It was the Pokeflute.
Okay.
Maybe he sent away for the Pokeflute.
Okay.
Because there's really no other reason for him to have it?
I mean, yeah, because like the only other thing that makes even a little bit of sense would be the Sliff. Did it again. The Sylph Scope.
You can say Sliff. It's fine. I say Plusil and Minin. So
Plusil is what that dude from Bedazzled would say.
Plusle.
It hasn't even been Plusled yet.
Oh, I'm going to name my shiny Plusil Publish.
Publish. So anyway, because if you send it away for the Sylph Scope, if I get this, I can go fight.
We're still under a spoiler tag, right? Team Rocket has the Sylph Scope.
Right.
I don't know how they got it.
But also, like, that was like a proprietary prototype thing.
Oh, I know exactly how they got it. They stole it from Sylph Co.
Yeah, because that's like a thing later.
Yeah.
Good thing we're under the spoiler tag. So we'll say, yeah, I think it's the Pokeflute. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. And it just kind of gives the magazine a purpose to be there.
Yeah. He's got to work for it.
Right. So notable items in the tower. There's two elixirs, one on the fourth floor. There's one hidden next to the stairs on the fifth floor. That second one is only in red, blue, or yellow. And then there's a rare candy on the sixth floor. But that's it. There's nothing else real fancy in there.
Okay.
It's a good thing we're under that spoiler tag, because now we're out of everything from the original games.
And we're into Gen 2
/4. So we're
going
to just do a time warp real quick. That's 3 years later. And the Pokemon Tower has been converted into a radio tower.
This is the grossest thing in Pokemon to me. This is like, hey, cool cemetery you got there. What if we made it about commercials?
Yep. In Gens 2 and 4, the Pokemon Tower has been converted into a radio tower. All the graves from the tower have been moved, which already is gross.
Yeah, come on,
They've either been moved to the House of Memories or just underground. There is a stairwell on the first floor of the radio tower, which is the only floor we actually get to access.
Yeah.
We'll talk about why in a minute. But there is a stairwell going down that we can't get to because there's a guard in the way. I think that's where the graves are moved to.
Okay, so they just kind of inverted it, maybe?
Yeah, but like, I had to move all those dead Pokemon around.
Come on, guys. Like, show some respect for the dead.
It's just oddly dark. I don't think they intended it to be. I guess that's a good place for a tower, for a radio tower.
I think what they said was like, hey, we have this idea for like the kind of background plot is like, Giovanni, they're trying to find Giovanni. Where are we going to put the radio tower? We could put it in this whole new region. No.
I mean, there is one there.
Right. There's a Goldenrod.
There's a Goldenrod radio tower.
No, you're already done with that by the time you get to the Team Rocket stuff.
Let's put it in Saffron. It's like the hub city of Kanto. It's the biggest city on the map.
We could do that. Or, you know what we could do? We got that big Pokemon tower. We're not using it anymore because you already got the Marowak out of there.
Yeah, but the dead...
No one's going to remember them.
No one cares. You signed the paycheck, so I'll put it there.
Here, my name is Jeffrey P. Nintendo, and we are making the Pokemon Tower the radio tower.
Okay, I'll just shift drag over all these graves and delete. That must have been a weird day at the office.
Yep, and then Iwata was like, "Oh God, I need to take this company over. This wouldn't happen on my watch." And then that's why he.
Well, Iwata probably. Is the technical reason why we can only go to the first floor because he condensed Kanto so it would fit on the cartridge.
Yeah, that dude did some He actually was very integral in bringing Pokemon over in general. Like,
yeah.
He had to, like, fight to be like, no, Americans will get this admittedly super Japanese game.
Human beings love collecting and hoarding things.
Yeah, and animals.
I have so many amiibos, you guys.
People
it's
love
unhealthy.
Collecting and hoarding animals and amiibos. I'm almost out of room on my one shelf.
The in-universe, I almost said in-game.
The kayfabe reason.
For not being able to go up the rest of the radio tower is because it's like locked down after the attack on the Johto Tower in Goldenrod. So they're like, nah, you're not letting anybody up because you'll like take over and you'll cry on the air and try to get your boss to hear you. It's a mess.
Or whatever.
We heard everything. It's a mess.
It's bad radio. Our sponsors are pulling out. It's a mess. We're under damage. We're doing damage control right now. Carla, do the lottery. Carla?
Buena,
do the lottery.
Buena does the password.
Do the password. Who was the lottery?
Just the receptionist.
Oh, okay.
In Goldenrod. The receptionist in Kanto will give you a card for your Pokégear, which will let you hear the Kanto radio stations.
Right.
But after the power has been restored at the power plant, which you'll remember from last episode, a month ago, however long it's been.
It's been a few days.
The manager of the Kanto Radio Tower will give you the EXPN card.
Okay. That's my favorite extreme sports network.
Extreme Pokemon Network.
Yeah.
Card. Which allows you to tune your Pokégear into the Pokéflute station, which is how you wake up Snorlax in that game.
Right.
The downfall of that is that there's no Infinite Awakenings, because you can't just play that in battle, and that's lame.
Man, technology ruining everything. Am I right, guys? Am I right, millennials? Oh.
And finally, the last stop in Lavender Town is the House of Memories.
I'm very unfamiliar with this place because I don't remember it at all.
In Gen 2, it's called the Soul House, and it was built in an effort to relocate the graves of the Pokemon Tower when it was converted into the Radio Tower.
Okay, instead of just building a new Radio Tower, they moved a bunch of dead
They
Pokemon
moved the
bodies.
Pokemart. They built a whole new Pokemart. Next to the Pokemon Center. They chiseled a hole in the wall and put a Pokemart there.
Yep.
And then demolished the original one. And they had this big empty space. And they were like, what if we put a little house there? That'll hold all the graves that are in
right.
that giant
Seven
tower.
Floors of dead Pokemon.
And we put all the graves in that little house instead of just building a radio. And then we'll demolish the tower and build a radio tower instead of just building a radio tower. Anyway, there are said to be many chambers within the building. I'm going to guess that it goes underground.
Probably.
But they're only accessible by Mr. Fuji, and there's no visible entrance on the map inside. I don't know.
Secret.
I think Mr. Fuji's like, oh, there's secret chambers. We didn't just dump all those graves in the ocean.
We didn't just, like, cremate them. Which, guys, save some space. Cremate your Pokemon. If your Pokemon dies, like, cremate it.
Right.
And you can carry it in your bag.
Or you can, can put it in a Pokeball.
Oh, well, let's move on.
Here's a fun little world-building thing that happens in HeartGold and SoulSilver. If you spend too much time in the house, like if you're just hanging out in there, you talk to the Pokemon that's following you, a message will come up that either says it looks somehow sad or is trembling in fear, and eventually, if you stay even longer, it'll start getting mad, like it wants to go.
Right.
Because either implying that it's just sad because it's surrounded by dead Pokemon, or that the place is haunted.
Right. And it's like, hey, I'm a little more sensitive than a regular human, like,
right.
know, like how dogs and cats
are.
Yeah,
because there are no wild Pokemon in there. There's no ghosts popping up. It's just the house that you go in. All right, so that's it. That's Lavender Town, you guys.
Whew.
What a place.
Harrowing.
Woof. All right, we got a couple routes, though.
Okay.
These should go real quick. Route 8 is to the west. We are not going to go south, because that's the weird Snorlax optional one. We're going to save that.
Okay.
So to the west is Route 8. It's a horizontal route. Has a path that zigzags up and down throughout it. At the west end is the gate to Saffron City. At the right or east is obviously Lavender Town, where we just came from.
Right.
We can't get through the gate because the guards are thirsty, and that makes them jerks, and they won't let you pass.
Man, is there a water shortage? Is there a drought in Kanto?
In Saffron, I guess, they had to turn the water off because it was contaminated.
Was the power plant, like, powering the water processing plant?
Only in Saffron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. But they won't let you go. They're parched. And they're like, oh, no, I got dry mouth. You can't go in. So you go back out of the gate, and a little bit to the north is an entrance to another underground path, which goes under Saffron.
Right.
And that'll pop you up on the other side. There is a patch of grass in the middle of Route 8, which is surrounded by some small bushes and is only accessible via cut, because there's a couple of little hedges you can cut in the middle.
Okay.
In that grass, in the first generation, you can get Pidgey, Pidgeotto, Rattata, Ekans, Sandshrew, Vulpix, Jigglypuff, which I think is only in yellow, Meowth, Mankey, Growlithe, and Kadabra. So the fire-type dogs that are exclusive, this is where you get them.
Okay.
In Gen 2, it adds in Snubbull, Noctowl, and Haunter, because the tower was destroyed, so the ghost got out.
So the ghost got out. Way to go.
The heck, though. They messed up bad. Gen 4 doesn't add anything into the grass, but you can headbutt for Hoot Hoot, Pineco, and Combi. You can play the Hoenn sound and get Plusle and Minun. You can play the Sinnoh sound and get Shinx. There are 10 to 12 trainers here. It's mostly lasses and super nerds, but there's a couple gamblers.
It's a bunch of super nerds being creepy at the lasses, probably.
Probably. There's a couple gamblers, which are like old guys who gamble.
Sure.
Obviously. They're called gamers.
It's a bunch, it's Kenny Rogers.
They're called gamers in the remake.
Oh, that's dumb. They should have called him Kenny Rogers in the remake.
And then there's bikers, too, in the sequels in Gold, Silver, and
okay.
Gold and Soul Silver. The levels range from 19 to 26. There's a lass that has two Clefairies. There's a super nerd with a Muck, but nothing else really
spectacular.
In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you can get TM41, which contains Torment on this route.
Okay.
And Torment will prevent a Pokemon from using the same move twice in a row.
Okay.
Which has some good applications in competitive battling where there's like choice bands and stuff.
Right.
Because then they're locked into a move they can't use anymore.
Right.
They have a switch, and then you kill them. You kill them when they switch. So we pop out from the underground path on the other side of Saffron.
Right.
There's Route 7. This is the smallest route in Kanto.
Okay.
It's a tiny little baby route. There's a gatehouse on the east that we can't pass because that guard is also thirsty.
Man.
And Celadon is to the west. There's a small patch of grass to the north, and that's it. The Pokemon are basically the same, except Oddish and Bellsprout pop up. In Gen 2, you can get Raticate, Persian, and Spearow, along with Snubbull. Murkrow and Houndour is a weird thing.
Okay.
About Murkrow and Houndour. They're introduced in Gen 2.
Yeah.
You cannot catch them in Johto. They only exist in Kanto.
That is weird.
That's very odd. In Gen 4, you can headbutt for Spearow, Heracross, or Combi. And the Pokemon sound, the Hoenn sound, Sinnoh sound, is the same as Route 8.
Okay.
Trainers on the route. Nope.
Nope.
Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you can get the Mental Herb. Herb?
Either's fine.
Herb. Herb is a name. Herb is a plant.
Well, it depends. I mean, the British people say herb.
I'm not a British person.
Depends on if you want to drop the H or not. It's up to you. Both are correct, though.
And what that item does, it's a hold item, and it will remove the effects of infatuation. So if you fall in love via attract or cute charm or whatever,
okay,
you will eat this herb, and then you will not be in love with them anymore.
You take your rose-tinted goggles off. Puppy love goes away.
And it also cures things like disable and torment and other things that mess up your move usage.
Okay.
And that's it. That's going to do it for all the town stuff.
So then you come up to Celadon.
That's next time.
That's next
Celadon's
time.
A big place. It's a lot of big stuff happening. A
lot of
Celadon.
Stuff in Celadon.
So, Jake, what happened in Lavender Town in the anime?
Well, Josh, we'll talk about why this is shorter in more depth later, but the short version is the Patreon made it so I don't have to take super copious notes anymore.
Yet.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Yet.
So here
don't
is...
Don't forget the yet part.
Yet, because it's going to be a different thing. All right, yeah, okay. I know, it's fine.
You will have to watch this very intently at some point.
I should have kept my old notes. Barf. Okay, so in Lavender Town, I skipped about 5 or 6 episodes from last time. I don't really remember. And they went to Saffron in the episode before, and we'll go in the episode after.
This episode is a direct result of their first trip to Saffron.
Yeah.
They have already been through Celadon. They're done with Celadon, I'm pretty sure, at this point.
I think so. Actually, no, I don't think they go to Celadon yet.
No?
I think Celadon
is
later.
In the anime?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
That wouldn't surprise me.
There's also, like, made-up the grungy city and and Dark City, which is a Yu-Gi-Oh place essentially.
Dark City was a movie with John Travolta, right?
Not John Travolta. Kiefer Sutherland was in it, and a guy that.
What's the movie with John Travolta that I'm thinking of, where he's got like dreadlocks, like alien dreadlocks?
That's Starship Troopers.
No, that doesn't have John Travolta.
Battleship Earth.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking. Yeah. That's not Dark City.
Not even
that's
a little
totally
bit.
Different.
Dark City is basically what the Matrix said, like saw and went, oh, we could do that a little bit. but everyone thinks it's a Matrix ripoff, but it came first. Anyway, this is not a Dark City podcast. This is a Lavender City, Lavender Town podcast.
Yeah, there's no gym, so it's not a city.
It's just
that holds true so far.
So far. So Ash, Misty, and Brock tried to beat... Well, Ash tried to beat Sabrina, and he couldn't. So some wise bearded man, according to the narrator, was like, go to Lavender Town, check out the Pokemon Tower. So they go to the Pokemon Tower, which has horns, and, like, the mouth is a Gengar, and it's, like, just, like, this unnecessarily creepy place. They get there. Team Rocket is being spooked by a Ghastly. They fall down into the basement and hurt themselves. Hunter and Gengar are also there, the whole family. Is there Hunter and Gengar are watching like funny TV shows down in the basement somewhere. Yeah, and like there's like they're just like laughing and having their eyeballs poke out, and it's real weird. Ash, Misty, and Brock and Pikachu go inside because they're like, well, let's go check it out, let's be brave and go in there. So they go in there. There's like this really fancy dinner party thing. No, there's no guests. It's haunted. All the food starts flying everywhere. Chairs start scooping people up. They leave, and then Ash goes back in alone. And he's like, I think there's a Pokemon down there. Pikachu, use Thunder Blast. Or Thunder Shock. Pikachu, Thunder Shock's Team Rocket. They don't see that it's Team Rocket. Jesse's hair gets a little on fire. Ash whips a Pokeball down there to try to catch it. And just smashes Jesse in the face. And she's like, I will kill that child with my bare hands. So while he's like... Because, like, her hair catches on fire, and she's running around, so all he sees is a fire, and he's like...
Right.
He's like, oh, the fireball went out. Oh, well, that's when Haunter attacks him. So they kind of fight Haunter. Charmander tries to leer at it, but it doesn't work.
It just makes
a funny face. And then, like, Haunter licks it, and that paralyzes Charmander. So then, before they can, like, get into a fight proper, Ash is like, you guys are trying to be funny, but you're not. And they're like, I'm just not super into this routine that you guys got going on. And so they get so sad that they sink down into the floor. I don't know what happened because I blinked and a chandelier fell on Ash and Pikachu. So I imagine that they're like, don't laugh at our jokes, hey? We'll kill you. So they drop a chandelier on him, and I went, oh, they killed him with a chandelier. But then his ghost, him and Pikachu's ghosts come out of their body.
What?
Their spirits leave the mortal coil, and they're like, hey, we're ghosts now. This is so fun. Let's go prank Ash or Misty and Brock. So they go over there, and he picks Misty up and is like, "Woo, you're being spooked." And she's like, ah, a ghost. And, like, is terrified. And he drops her. And then he kind of just, like, goes off flying. And, like, I guess he gets to, like, a border. Like, you're too far away from your body. So he, like, bounces back. And then the next scene is them in, like, this playroom with, like, a carousel and a bunch of toys and a duck pond. And he's like, oh, you just wanted people to play with you. And they're like, yeah, Gengar, Hunter,
Ghastly.
That's how Ghastly talks. And then he's like, well, we can't, so bye. And they go back into their bodies, and they leave. And Misty's over Ash when he wakes up, and she's like, I thought you were dead. And she's sad, so like, is something going on there? And then they leave, and as they're walking away, Haunter shows up and scares Brock and Misty. They take off, and then I guess there's no Pokeball thrown, but there is some sort of contract... Non-verbal contract between the two, wherein Haunter is now Ash's Pokemon for at least a little while. I'm not sure how that shakes out. I guess we'll find out in the next episode.
Without getting too far into it, I don't think he ever catches Haunter. I think Haunter just helps him in the fight against Sabrina.
Okay, that makes sense, because he never is like, go Pokeball.
Right.
They're like, yeah, let's go to Saffron and get that badge. So then the last scene is Team Rocket tied to the carousel, going around and around and around, and they're like, I want to get off. It's so bad. Ghastly and Gengar are just laughing at them. And then we end with the classic Team Rocket sign-off. Looks like Team Rocket's throwing up again. And that's what happened in the anime.
Your quick little synopses of the anime episode make them sound awesome.
They do.
I don't know if that's your intent.
No.
Because I think you're trying to convince me of how bad it is, but you're doing an awful job.
Yeah, I guess I'm a better storyteller than the Pokemon anime is. but that's it. That's it for the anime.
All right. Well, let's do this episode's, this time's Spotlight Pokemon.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Cubone! Everybody get your tissues ready.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. This episode is... I did
not
mean
for
it to be so
bleak. We're getting
it
all out in this one episode.
Cubone.
Next time we're going to Celadon, it's all flowers. It's going to be great.
It's all flowers and, like, shopping.
Department stores. It's awesome. But right now, Cubone.
Cubone is Pokemon number 104. He's the lonely Pokemon.
Oh, buddy.
He's a ground type, because whatever.
Because we needed more ground types.
Has an average height of 1'4", weighs 14.3 pounds. As for how it looks, it's a little brown guy with a skull on his head and a bone in his hand.
He's got a big old bone.
And a tail. He has a tail. His abilities are Rock Head, which prevents recoil damage except from struggle.
Okay.
If you get down to struggle, you're still going to kill yourself.
Right.
Faint yourself.
Faint yourself.
Me. It's a PG podcast. Lightning Rod, which attracts electric attacks, and starting in Gen 5, the Pokemon with this ability also nullifies the damage of the attack. Cubone is a ground type, so it would nullify it anyway.
Right.
And in addition to nullifying the damage, it also gets a special attack boost, except for ground types, which is a real weird... I think it might be a mechanical issue, or maybe it's intentional, but the immunity from the ground type trumps the immunity from the ability, so it does not get the attack boost because it's immune naturally.
Okay.
Which is a little weird. It's weird.
That is a little weird. It kind of makes sense, though.
Outside of battle, only in Pokemon Emerald, this is a real weird thing. Pokemon with Lightning Rod in your party will cause your trainers you have registered in the PokéNav to call you more. Because it's like a cell tower?
I guess.
So you get better reception, so more of the calls come through?
Maybe?
I don't know. Its hidden ability is Battle Armor, and that prevents critical hits.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, Lightning Rod is only really good for double or triple battles, because like if you send Cubone out in a single battle, no one's trying to zap it.
Right.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
Rock Head is also a pretty good one. It gets double edge. So
yeah. Yeah.
If
you load it up with some recoil moves, I guess it's time for like the saddest stuff in the whole Pokemon mythology right now, I guess.
I guess. Cubone's Pokedex entries go as follows. The skull on its head is said to belong to the Cubone's mother who dies during childbirth.
No.
Hold on, because I want to talk about this specifically after this. No one has ever seen its face since it refuses to remove the skull from its head. It sees a resemblance of its mother in the moon, which causes it to cry even more often during the night, and the skull is stained underneath the eye sockets from all of the tears that Cubone has cried.
Pokemon, why? Why you do this to me?
Here's one problem that this brings up. Marowak died in Lavender Town trying to protect its kid, but it should have died having its kid, because its kid is wearing its skull on his head.
Right.
Let's rationalize this. That Cubone's mother survived childbirth, which has
never
happened to a Marowak before. Never
once happened ever.
The Marowak... So this Cubone has no skull on its head. That Marowak is killed by Team Rocket.
Yeah.
So the Cubone puts its skull on and it just becomes a Cubone.
Right. Yeah. But you know why? Because they said like, he's trying to take the Cubone's skull, right?
Right.
What if they didn't mean that? What if they meant like he's trying to take the Cubone?
What if they didn't mean the helmet?
Yeah.
They meant the actual Cubone skull.
No one's seen a Cubone before. We just want the head. We don't want the whole Pokemon.
I hate
Team Rocket so much right now.
Also, it's not in any of the official Pokedex entries, but I think the bone that it uses as a club is like the femur of its mother.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
It's just a real sad Pokemon.
It's sad and just so weird that someone thought of that.
Yeah, that's kind of Japan, though. Like, on the one hand, you have, like, bubbles and pop music and catching...
I also toned the Pokedex entries down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because some of them were like, it cries over its mother that it will never know and stuff.
God,
it's just so
dang
sad.
Dang it, Pokemans. Stop it. Stop it right now.
Let's talk about its signature moves.
Okay.
It has moves that it can only learn.
Okay.
And then one that it used to only be able to only learn, and then Lucario showed up and hecked up everything.
Way to go, Lucario.
So it gets Bone Club,
which
is just a bonk on the noggin
with
its bone.
With this bone.
It's 65 base power with a 10% chance to flinch. So it's just like,
Okay.
Flinch makes you miss a turn. I don't know if you know what flinch
I know that, yeah.
Just for anyone else who's casually listening.
The reason I know that is because my my Feraligatr always gets bite.
Right.
And bite sometimes causes flinches. So.
It gets a Bone Meringue, which it throws its bone like a boomerang.
Right.
This is the this is my favorite Pokemon attack.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just love it. He just chucks that bone at you.
It bounces off your head, comes right back.
So like Double Kick, it hits twice.
Yeah.
Each hit is 50 base power, so collectively it's about as powerful as Earthquake, which is the most powerful and, like, usable physical move.
Right.
But it has the advantage of being a multi-hit attack, so it can break through, like, Sturdy and Focus Sash. It can break a Substitute and then hit it on the way back through.
Right.
So it's a pretty good move. Problem is that Cubone and Marowak are just so slow. They're so slow.
They're so slow. You gotta get that Jolly Nature, which raises speed.
I'm not gonna mass breed Cubone, though. You know what that's gonna do? That's gonna kill a bunch of Marowaks.
Yeah, that brings up the question. Like, if you put a Marowak in the...
What if they coated it? They don't. You just get your Pokemon back. But
right.
If you breed a Cubone and you go to take the mother out, it's like, oh, no, it's dead.
Sorry.
You can't have that Pokemon back.
I'm sorry, it died. Here's its skull for your Cubone.
And it gets Bone Rush, which is a weak ground-type multi-hit, like, Fury Attack.
Okay.
They used to be exclusive to Cubone, but then Lucario was like, my spikes are bones, I guess, even though I'm part steel and I think they're metal. So
sure.
I can use Bone Rush too. And then Mandibuzz flew in with a bone in its hair, and it was like, I also can rush with this bone.
I know, Mandibuzz, this is the first time I'm hearing of this Mandibuzz.
It's a vulture.
Okay.
It has a bone.
Is that Gen 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
It has a bone in its hair or its beak. Let me look it up. The bone is in Mandibuzz's hair.
Okay. Again, I've never heard of this Pokemon.
Cubones are initially only found in the Pokemon Tower, but after it gets wrecked, they find their way into the rock tunnel of Kanto. They sometimes appear in swarms on Route 203 in Sinnoh, and they can also be found in the Glittering Cave in Kalos.
Okay.
So they're, like, holed up in a cave, just where it's dark and alone.
Right.
At first, they're only in the Pokemon Tower, mourning their dead mothers.
Yeah.
And then they have to go into the rock tunnel because someone wrecks the tower.
Right. They got to retreat somewhere. They should all, like, gang up. I like the swarms of them because that's them being like, we're, you know, our parents died. Like, our moms died. We're
not
going to be
just,
lonely.
They all just, like, unite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be lonely together.
Hope you're ready to get sad again, because here comes some trivia.
Okay.
In the Red and Blue beta, Cubone's name was originally Orphan, with an O instead of an A.
Or, like, Orphan?
Orphan.
Oh.
In reference to its dead parents, and I put a crying emoji next to that, because that made me very sad. And it is the favorite Pokemon, Cubone, is the favorite Pokemon of the trading card game illustrator Midori Harada.
Okay.
That's all the trivia. Weird. There was another trivia, but it was like a weird one.
Like some weird mechanical nerd thing. I like the theory that Cubones are Kangaskhan.
Baby Kangaskhans the mother just happened to die.
That the mother died.
Yeah. There's also a theory that it's a Charmander because, like, the body is similar.
Right.
I don't know.
But yeah, its tail would be on fire. Because if a tail goes out, it dies.
Midori Harada did draw a Cubone card.
Yeah.
It's him juggling his bone. She made him happy.
That's good.
Because his first card in the base set of the Pokemon trading card game.
It was like him crying over a grave.
He's standing on a rock staring at the moon with tears running down his face.
God, I hate Pokemon
now. It's beautifully illustrated. But it's so sad.
So sad.
So on the origin of Cubones...
Okay.
It could possibly be based on dinosaurs and dinosaur fossils, and it's wearing a skull. No one's ever seen its face. Like, no one's ever actually seen a dinosaur's face.
Right.
It's kind of a stretch. It could also have some kind of origin in primitive cultures that wore bones for decoration and used them as weapons.
Right.
But really, I think it's just an original idea of this thing's mother died, and now it can't let it go.
Yeah. That's just so sad. Just so sad all around.
It is. We got a more upbeat one next time, so that'll be fun.
Cool. I don't know what that is. I'm excited.
Its name could be derived from a few different words combined with the word bone. It could be cute bone, cub bone.
That's what I always thought.
Or the Latin word cubo, which means like reclusive. Or it, I think it means specifically a recluse.
Right.
So I think it might be that one.
Maybe. They all kind of make sense.
But that's it for Cubone. Sorry, I didn't mean to make you guys
all
so sad.
All right, guys, well, like, now that we all had a good cry.
So just hug your Cubones.
Yeah, hug your Cubones. What would you name it? This is going to get sad.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Little Buddy, because I don't want to be sad anymore.
little Buddy's a good one.
I did have a Marowak named Chuck, because it throws its boomerang.
Casey Jones would be a good one.
He's got a mask and a club. Yeah.
It's already been a sad enough episode, so I'm not going to say that next thing I was about to say. I don't think I have any food ones for it, because like, I don't want it any worse. Maybe like a sweet treat. like what is that?
Like a taffy.
Yeah, or like toffee, or like
nougat.
Nougat would be a good one. Yeah, something like nice and light and like,
yeah,
not like we had to kill you to get this food, but just like it's like a candy, because like you could be like ribeye, but like that's not, you know.
No.
No, please.
T-bone.
Yeah. No.
I like nougat.
I like nougat.
I might name a Cubone nougat now. That's a good one.
All right. And so I guess now that we're all sad, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to get to hear some music, and then we'll come back and rate some names.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, are you ready? We got no names submissions. So, guys, if you have any, we'll tell you how to do that later in the show, but where to send them later in the show. But we need a name and a species, and more context if it's a very clever name, because we don't always get them.
Yeah, I'm not the most cultured person.
We have a lot of smart listeners.
I have very specific knowledge.
Yeah, we have a lot of smart listeners and a lot of dumb hosts who don't always get your fun references. Also, we rate these. This is a name raider segment. We always call it the nickname segment, but it's the name raider segment.
Right.
And we rate
our scale. We always say let's rate some nicknames.
Right. So it's a scale from 1 to 5. It's Pokeball, Premier Ball, Great Ball, Ultra Ball, Master Ball. We only get one Master Ball per person per episode. That's all the rules. So yep. I got a Reddit thread pulled up. I'm just going to pick a rando. Oh, this is a good one. I have a Lil Icky named Miley.
Ew. First of all, because Lil Icky is the grossest Pokemon. It's so gross.
Is it grosser than a Lickitung?
Yeah, it's a fatter, grosser Lickitung.
Oh, it's like a baby fat?
It's just bigger. It's evolved. It's an evolved Lickitung.
Oh, you're right.
And it makes that weird, gross, slurpy.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that sound. Don't do
it's
that.
It's gross.
Again. Don't ever.
So you're already docked a point because you use a Licky Licky.
A Licky Licky? A Lil Licky.
No, it's Licky Licky. The Pokemon's name is Licky Licky.
Lick Licky. That's just what it says here.
All right. I'm pretty sure it's Licky Licky.
Maybe
it's Lick Licky.
I actually like that a lot because Miley Cyrus always had her tongue out.
No, I know. She licked the sledgehammer in Wrecking Ball.
Yeah. There's a.
I'll give it a Great Ball, but that's all you're getting out of me.
I'm gonna be contrarian. I'm gonna give it an Ultra Ball. Yeah, that's clever.
No, well, fine.
It's no Ziggy Azalea, but it's
well, I mean,
good.
What is
Warbeak the Dodrio?
Warbeak.
I'm gonna give this a Premier Ball because that is the least warlike Pokemon I think I can.
Well, I mean,
think of one of its faces is mad, but that's about as far as it goes.
All of its faces are mad.
Isn't like one sleepy and one?
No, Dodrio has two like goofy, stupid faces. Okay. I think all the. No, one of them might be nervous. One of the Dodrios might be just, like, nervous. Like, oh, no.
I'm a third head.
Maybe they're all at war with each other.
Oh, okay. I still don't like it. I'm giving it a Premier Ball. This is from...
What was the first one from?
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it again. This one's from Reddit user X, letter X, Excellente. Excellente?
Excellente.
Let me see if I can find Miley real quick. Oh, found it. Okay, that's by WolfTamer8.
Oh, so Wolf Tamer. That's a good one. That's an Ultra Ball.
All right,
that's not your Pokemon, so.
What are you giving?
I'm giving Warbeak a Great Ball. I like it.
Okay. Thirdly, that's a word now, we have a Ditto. This is from Reddit user Dimu Katzi.
Yep.
Sure. These are some pretty good ones that he's got here. Or that they've got here. I don't know if it's a girl or a boy. We're going to go with this ditto named Mugu.
Do you know the theory about that?
Yes. The dittos are a...
Are failed Mew clones.
Yeah, because they weigh the same, and they're the only Pokemon that can also learn every move.
And transform.
And transform, yeah. I actually like that.
I like that a lot. I'll give that an Ultra Ball.
I'm going to give that an Ultra Ball as well. Good job, buddy. He also had a Ghastly named Rick Ghastly, which I think is a little on the nose, but still pretty funny. Okay, this is... all right, here we go. This is from Reddit user ZeroGKitten, and they have they have a shiny Klefki named Ferrari Keys.
Stop it.
That's the one. That's it. I'm going to give this a great ball.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, congrats on your shiny Klefki, and you named it Ferrari Keys. On the other hand, Ferrari Keys is a terrible name for a Pokemon.
Go Ferrari Keys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a great ball. It's fine.
Was that four?
That was four.
I think you're 3-for-4 on great balls. Yes.
I'm pretty indifferent to a lot of them.
Right. There was a special at the store. Nope, we're not doing that one because those all look a little racist. all right, here we go. It's from, I'm not, Ikari Gullwing. Reddit user Ikari Gullwing. Have we talked about how Reddit names are like this weird, delicate art that I don't quite understand?
Did. I had to cleverly censor one on air once.
Right. So they have a Espeon named, it's a Gaelic word. It's Mabrach.
What did you do? Why did you pick this one?
It's Mabrach. It's mental in Gaelic.
Oh, okay.
It's a good looking word.
Can I see it?
Okay, I can spell it for you. If you want to come look at it, you can. It's Mabrachesh. Mabrach.
Mabrach.
Hey, Mahrund.
I really like that.
I do too. I think it's a hard to.
What are you, mental?
If I heard this word said out loud, it would probably be real nice because the Gaelic language is a generally pleasing to the ear language. Yeah. It's just a hard to look at and pronounce if you're like not at all familiar with the dialect. I'm gonna go with Master Ball.
Yeah, I still have this Master Ball on my hip, so I'm just gonna chuck it. I like this one the best out of the group anyway.
Yeah, plus Espeon, so it's like psychic type, and like a lot of psychic types don't really feel like they embody like the word mental, and like Espeon kind of does.
Right.
And like you can call it maybe if you want, because cats are curious.
You can call it maybe.
Maybe. I know it's crazy, but. And that's it for the Name Raider segment. I'm going to try to find a better Reddit thread next time we do a rando, because that one was just full of like nerd crap and bad ones. So. I didn't want it just to be like Pokeball, 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 Pokeball.
All right, so let's talk about fan stuff, I guess. We're talking Patreon fan stuff, so
yeah. Yeah, so we launched Patreon, and presumably, if you're listening to this, and you're one of our patrons...
You will be able to tell if you are one of our patrons, because we thanked you at the beginning of the show.
We thanked you at the beginning of the show, and you're going to have a little bit less money as of a couple days ago to you. I don't know where that sentence was going or where it started, but basically, like we have a Patreon, and if you go to patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh, there's a lot of cool stuff we have planned. Patreon does this real fun thing where as soon as you break a milestone, you can't look at it anymore, I don't think. At least not when you go to hours. Maybe there's a way you can change it to set it up differently, but we've already gotten through all of our milestones, which is insane. So we're doing, for this show specifically, because we also have another podcast, The Morphin Grid, and as of, you know, with the Patreon, we have two more podcasts coming out, one called Hey Jake and Josh, which is just like a duty-free us talking about whatever for 35 minutes because we're like pretty funny guys, so we need to get our tangents out somewhere, and we figured, hey, why not do it this way?
Yeah.
And then the other one is a games and sports podcast. It's mostly going to be Nickelodeon shows, but there's also going to be like wrestling and Super Bowl.
American that's coming Gladiators.
Up. American Gladiators and Supermarket Sweep. Yeah. And a lot of fun stuff like that, so that'll be fun. But for this podcast, we have the Pokemon anime episodes where we're going to be talking and recapping all the Pokemon anime exclusively for Patreon. So if you want to hear that, go ahead and donate. You have to do it at the $5 level or above.
Wait, those are only going to patrons?
For at first.
Okay.
Yeah,
they'll be in the feed eventually.
Yeah, they're Patreon exclusive for about a month, maybe 2 months.
All right.
We haven't decided yet, but like, if you want it now, if you want the good jokes when they're fresh, if you don't want those like, oh, the sell by date's coming up jokes, then you know, you got to donate to the Patreon to get those. At the $5 level or above, that's my kind of recommended level, is the $5 level, because you get all the access to the cool stuff. It's not breaking the bank. And also, like,
right.
If you don't want any of the other things, you don't need to necessarily get them. But if you do want those other things, such as a custom-built Pokemon from Josh.
That's right. Or, I'm working on one right now for Sky, and I got one in the chamber for Matt, so...
Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about that real quick?
Yes.
By now, I have messaged a bunch of people on Patreon, but I'm switching over to just directly emailing you with a bunch of questions based on whatever tier you donated at. And I need your answers to some of those if you want to get your stuff.
Yeah, presumably you
only
want
two
your
people
stuff.
Have gotten back to me so far. Yeah. So it might be an issue with Patreon because their messaging system does not seem to be very good.
It might be because you sent out the messages and then like Matt sent his back and
yeah.
He's like, hey, I sent it to you. And you're like, we didn't get it. And so he's like, all right, I'll email it to you. And then like 2 days later, the message popped up
right.
to Patreon. So
Sky thought ahead and just emailed us. On his own accord.
Directly, yeah. So we're going to be emailing from now on because, like, we have your email addresses. So we figured that's probably a lot easier and more predictable.
We're going to be doing that. You can just reply to the email.
Yeah. So if you want, at the $10 level, you get the custom Pokemon and you get a Cyndaquil from Josh and a Teddy Ursa from me. I need to start breeding more.
Well, you get those at the $5 level.
Those are the $5. So those are the $5 level. That's a little gift from us to you.
Yeah. You can trade us any junk you want.
Yeah. And I forget which level it is, but one of them will nickname a Pokemon if you have
trouble. That's also, I think, just bunched into the $5. $5 one is the biggest text.
That's like the catch-all. And then the $20 level is Pokemon World Tour exclusive, and that's we make you a gym leader, and so we got a couple people with those.
That's
so
right. And if you donate at the $25 level, that is also included.
You also
in
get
that.
To be a gym leader. Yeah. So we will be kind of those are going to be a little bit of a longer con. Those are going to be a little bit farther down the line. We need to figure out exactly how we're going to do them because we want to do them right.
Right.
The Let's Build a Gym episodes that are not for someone are going to be easy. It's like, here's the, you know, but like, we got to like work
on
stuff.
We have a rock type one coming hopefully pretty soon.
Not 100% sure when.
Hopefully by the end of this month, but maybe early next month. We'll try to get it to you as soon as
okay.
we can.
Yeah, I think that's doable. At $15, there's stickers. And if you are a fan of both of our podcasts, you can get a selection of both.
We're not entirely sure how it's going to work yet. But what I'm thinking is when we get the set like nailed down, we get like, these are going to be the Power Ranger ones, these are the Pokemon ones that we're going to do, we will send you, we'll email you pictures of them and you can pick however many from the whole bunch,
right? And they'll like have numbers, so you can just give us a list
eventually
of numbers.
I might just start making stickers about anything,
right? Yeah, so like down the line it'll be like, hey, that joke from that one time, like, oh, here's a Slowpoke tail.
Here's the cotton swab from American Gladiators when we talked about it on Hey Jake and Josh that time.
Yeah, it'll be like a lot of cool stuff, just stickers. And then there's also T-shirts at the $25 level. I know I did 20 and then 15 and now I'm back up to 25. Just kind of follow me here, guys. It's a little bit late. I'm a little sleepy. All right, it's been a long day. But the T-shirts are Patreon exclusive. So the only place you can get these T-shirts without breaking into someone's house that already got them is from the Patreon.
That's right.
We have a Morphin Grid one. We're working on a Pokemon one. I have a couple ideas. We haven't sat down and like hammered it out yet, but it'll be good. I promise. And so we'll be sending out pictures of those soon too. And I guess that's all, because we went over this in our last episode of the Morphin Grid, the latest episode of the Morphin Grid. So we just wanted to go over it here too, because this podcast goes out less often. And also, I wanted to talk about milestones, because during the recording of this, I thought of another milestone that would be real awesome. So we're making a Power Rangers zine, and that's going to be real cool, but it's only 6 issues. So we might do a milestone later on that's a Pokemon zine, and we got a real great idea for that I think will be real fun. Keep an eye out for that,
yeah.
I guess.
We are going to spread our milestones out.
Yeah, here's the thing. We expect it to be...
because suddenly we have so much work to do.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, look, when the website is made and the zine is designed and ready to go, like, that's all going to be fine.
Yeah.
But the problem is I have to do that stuff. And we also have two new podcasts we have to be thinking about.
Yeah.
Or that you are going to have to edit.
Yeah. Plus the bonus podcast, the Morphin Commentaries and the Pokemon
Which
anime.
I might be doing the Pokemon anime episode.
I think you're going to have to do
kinda
that
kind of lighten your load there. We're starting 2016 off.
216. The year of our Lord, 216.
We're starting off the Sweet 16. Very busy.
Yeah, which is a good place to be, I think.
Yeah.
Because we have real cool fans. I did not expect this soon.
But I just want like a little bit more time before we add more to that. So the milestones are spreading out.
Yeah, so but they will be cool. And if you guys have ideas, if you're like, oh, I would donate if like you guys had like this milestone a little bit later on. Like,
oh, send it to us.
Send it to us.
We'll either make
sure.
a milestone for it or add it to an existing.
Yeah, or like figure out what to do. Yeah, because like, we want your input. We want you guys to want to support. I mean, you do get, if you are a fan of all of our programs, you're gonna get a lot of value for your money, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. If you're only here for one, like I want to make it worth it no matter what level you donate at,
right?
So because of those reasons, like, we're doing a lot more at the start just to kind of like let you guys know that, like, yeah, we have a Patreon and you can support us, but like ultimately it's because like we really like doing cool stuff and we like it when you guys enjoy what we make, and so we want to make things that you enjoy.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to stop shilling ourselves now.
All right.
We do have some Twitter stuff.
Do we?
Yeah. Just thought to check, and there's like some stuff here that we could talk about.
Oh, cool.
Sky, I don't think we talked about this on Pokemon World Tour yet, because we haven't recorded since Christmas.
Nope.
He's been drawing the Pokemon and their Power Rangers.
The
Power Rangers and their Pokemon, yeah. I guess is the way you should
say
it.
I mean, like, look.
But this is the Pokemon podcast.
You belong to each other, right? Like,
they get top billing.
Yeah.
On the Pokemon podcast.
Yeah, he did all the five main rangers and Ernie,
for Christmas, he drew Ernie with a Tropius.
With a Tropius, which we did not talk about, but it's perfect. And if we did talk about it, let us know, because Josh thinks we did, but I don't think we did.
I think we did.
Oh, do we want to talk about the $4,000?
Yeah, Hoops tweeted us, and he was like, hey. He didn't say hey, I added that. Pokemonentary with a link to YouTube, which I clicked. And it opened up, and it said, Pokemon Live Show. And I quickly closed it and set my computer on fire. If you want us to do a Pokemonentary on the live show, we are going to add a $4,000 milestone to the Patreon for that.
I think that might be a little ridiculous. I would like to do it, but that's going to be part of a future milestone. I don't think it'll be $4,000.
No, it'll be $1,000,000.
Unless I cannot haggle Josh down.
And then as soon as your card's clear, I'm just going to stop. Disappear.
Then we're
Take
done.
Your money and disappear.
We're leaving the country. We're gone.
I'll occasionally post cryptic YouTube videos of just like a real close-up of my face.
That's weird.
With a Pokemon theme. Or I'll have the video playing in the background, and I'll just laugh at the end. I'll count your money on camera. I really don't want to watch that. Nothing good can come out of that.
I want to watch it so bad because I know nothing good can come out of it. And sometimes I just want to watch the world burn, Josh.
And you may have seen these somewhere else, but friend of the show, Shuckles, Trainer Zengar on Twitter, sent us a picture of Pokemon like Power Ranger shirt designs.
Yes.
So it's each colored shirt with the diamond pattern and the power coin in the middle.
Yeah, but the power coin is a Pokemon,
The power coins are Pokemon. So yellow is Pikachu, red is Charizard, pink is Jigglypuff, green is Venusaur, black is Onix, and blue is Blastoise. And that Onix power coin is killing it.
Let me see.
It's dead on.
Yeah, that Onix one is baller, though.
Yeah.
That's exactly what a power coin of an Onix should be.
Definitely. And then I think that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got for Twitter stuff.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to wrap up now, then.
I didn't check the email. I know you guys are shocked. I don't know.
I did. We didn't have anything.
All right, cool.
All right, thank you guys for listening and for wading through us trying to shill our Patreon for a little bit there.
We'll get less wordy about
Once it's less new, I think it'll be a lot easier to get through. But if you want to contact us in any way, including to send your nicknames for us to rate, or if you have questions or fan theories or anything at all that you want to send to us, you can do that at PWT Podcast on Facebook, Tumblr, or Twitter. And you can email us at pwtpodcast@gmail.com. And our theme song is The Destiny Infinite off of the OC Remix, the Eevee EP. The theme song is by Dark Sword. You can follow him on Twitter at Dark Sword, DarkeSword. Go check out his stuff. And you can get the album at ev.ocremix.com. There's a lot of, all the songs are real cool.
It's so good, in fact, that I decided to use it for the, what was in the anime segment. I used Ember, the Flareon theme, which is the theme of Lavender Town by Brandon Strader. So also go check out that song as well. And I used Scottine's Pokemon Tower theme for when we talked about the Pokemon Tower. Again, great album, the Kanto Symphonies. Go check it out.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely check them out.
I haven't gone through OC Remix in a while, but they have just so much cool stuff.
A lot of great stuff on there.
The rest of the music in the podcast is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection, available on iTunes. In this episode, we have at least one selection from the Fire Red and Leaf Green Super Music Collection. So also check that out. They're both $9.99. So go buy those, listen to the sweet, sweet tunes whenever you want.
Yeah, and I don't use it consistently, but occasionally I have used some songs off of Scottine's Kanto Symphony.
Right.
So definitely also check that out, because it has pulled my butt out of a musical fire once or twice in the past. And they're also real great songs. They're like real pretty orchestrated. And
yeah.
Like, they're orchestrated and remixed a little bit. So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Definitely go check it out. And that's it for us today.
Yeah, that's it. Next time we're going to be, I mean, we're pounding on the gate of Celadon City. So,
all right.
We're gonna go in there.
We're going to go in there. And we're going to
do some shopping.
I'm going to smell some flowers.
I'm going to sleep in the People Hotel. Until then,
smell you later.